You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. Happy Tuesday to you. It's Tuesday, November the 13th. My name is Keith Pompey, and I'm the host of Locked On Sixers podcast. I also cover the 76ers for the Philadelphia Inquirer / Daily News and Philly.com. And I just want to thank y'all for, listening this morning. Also want to, thank the new listeners that I have. You guys are much appreciated, and I want you guys to know that, hey, I am the only podcast in the area that covers the Sixers 5 days a week. So, keep coming back, and I'll keep you informed. But hey, y'all, to open up, I want to talk about, last night's Sixers victory over the Miami Heat here in Miami. The Sixers won 124-114. Joel Embiid had another beast of a game. He had 35 points and 18 rebounds. He mentioned that when he doesn't score 35, he feels like he has a bad game now. And believe me, he did it many a times in regards to scoring 30 or more points this season. The second segment, I want to talk about Markelle Fultz. I want to talk about Markelle Fultz's three-throw attempt. I want to talk about his reaction. I want to talk about the reaction his shot. Free throw attempt has been receiving. I mean, it kind of went viral on social media yesterday. And thirdly, in the third segment, I want to talk about who or what I project the 76ers starting lineup to look like once Jimmy Butler arrives. I want to talk about who I think is going to be the odd man out. But hey, right now is just time to talk about the game. Last night, the Sixers improved to 9-6 overall. They improved to 2-6 on the road. They didn't really beat a good team, y'all. I mean, they defeated a Heat squad that's 5-8. They have injuries. Dwayne Wade took a leave of absence because he and his wife gave birth to a daughter, and he's out in L.A. right now. So this team was undermanned just like the 76ers were. And the Sixers, Sixers kind of put it on them a little bit, down the stretch in the second half. But when you look at it, we talk about Joel Embiid having a monster game. I mean, here's a guy who had 35 points. Like I said, he had, 18 rebounds. He was just being himself. After the game, he had fun. He even asked me if Hassan Whiteside was talking trash, and he didn't want to talk trash. And I said, nah, he didn't. And basically, it was a tweet that I had where I said, wow, Whiteside, I'm not going to go out like Andre Drummond did. And I guess he thought it was literal, and he was prepared to talk trash to me about Whiteside. And, I told him it wasn't the case. So he said, hey, I'm going to be nice. And it's good that he was nice, because we all know how Embiid can be, and we all know how he gets on the tangents. But the thing that is really starting to stand out to me about the 76ers, and it also stood out in this win, is Furkan Korkmaz. I mean, he's putting up the last two games. Last night he had a career high 16 points, right? The night before that, the game before that, he had what was a career high 14 points. Now, The Sixers turned down or declined picking up his option, his third-year option. So what happens is he becomes a free agent in the summer. A free agent. Now, the Sixers can offer him money, but all they can offer him is the $2.03 million. That's what they can offer him. Now, another team could come and say, hey, Ferg, we're going to offer you $2.2 million, $2.5 million, whatever. And if he plays well, you know, there's no way that the Sixers will probably retain him because he's going to go where the money is. He's going to go somewhere where he feels like people are going to pay him or where people are going to play him. And if it wasn't for the Jimmy Butler trade, and if it wasn't for the Sixers being undermanned because of the Jimmy Butler play, you know, Furkan Korkmaz wouldn't see these minutes. He wouldn't get these opportunities. So with that being said, you know, you can see why he's going to leave. But I'm here to tell you, he played well. I mean, he was, like I said, he had 16 points, a career high. He was 3-for-6 on threes. He was 5-for-9 overall, you know. You know, if you look at it outside of Embiid and I guess, yeah, outside of Embiid, to me, he was the most impressive. I mean, yeah, you know, you look at Ben Simmons with 13 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. You know, J.J. Redick had 25 points, but he was like 3-for-9 on threes, you know. That's different from being 3-for-6. Especially when Ferk started off 3-for-4, I think he got tired. So he had a heck of a game. Now, here's the thing. Hassan Whiteside played well early on until he got into foul trouble. I mean, he had like 11 of his points in the first. He was shot 5-for-6 in the first quarter and had 11 points. He only attempted 2 shots after that. And he ended up with 13 points. So, you know, Embiid was being nice. He didn't talk trash. But after the first quarter, you know, Whiteside had the fouls. And then he also, you know, he just couldn't stop Embiid. I mean, especially when you collect fouls. I mean, you know, the most impressive thing about Embiid's 18 rebounds was he had 6 offensive, right? I mean, from the foul line, he lived at the foul line. He shot 16-for-20. On threes, the brother was 3-for-4. I mean, so he was really feeling it. He had a great all-around game. You know, the Sixers also welcomed Mike Muscala back, which is huge. You know, they said he was going to be reevaluated. He, you know, as you guys know, he broke his nose and had a facial laceration a week ago today at practice. And he was projected to miss 4 games. Well, he only missed 3. And he played well. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Mike Muscala was 3-for-11. He was 3-for-10 on threes, right? So, but at the same time, you know, he had 8 boards. He was 4-for-5 from the foul line. He had 13 points. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they need him to do some of the little things, and he did that. You know, Wilson Chandler started. He had 5 points, 2-for-3 from the field. He made his lone 3-point attempt. He had 3 assists. Now, he's on a minutes restriction where he's only supposed to play 20 minutes. He played 23 minutes and 26 seconds. But he gave him some valuable minutes because, let's face it, he's not looked to be the superstar. He's looked to be the glue guy, right? And I think that's what he's going to be for this team. Like, you got Embiid, you got Jimmy Butler coming. You know, you got a lot of other players. They don't need him to be the man, so to speak. But hey, y'all, now it's time to pay for some of these ads. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. And I'm talking about for, you know, the NFL games. Remember, when you're who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys. They are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. All right. Now, join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. My bookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. Sounds pretty good to me. All right, y'all, I'm back. I'm back now. Like I said, I want to talk to you about Markelle Fultz, right? I want to talk to you about Markelle Fultz's foul shot. You know, Markelle Fultz, it was 6 minutes and 9 seconds left in the second quarter, right? And he stepped to the line, and he attempted a pair of three throws. And believe me, y'all, you can tell that his free throw form there is getting worse, right? Well, at least it appeared that way on Monday. So as he's at the foul line, he nearly hit himself in the head before double clutching on a pair of foul shots, right? It was more pronounced on the second one. He made the first and he missed the second. When it happened, Twitter exploded. It was like there were so many videos, people on press row, where some of us were like, wow. I mean, it was a bad looking shot. And after the game, I'm telling you, as much as Twitter was on fire and, you know, people back in Philadelphia, TV stations, shows, wherever, everyone was talking about this shot. Everyone. I mean, not just like, I know on social media, but everyone was talking about it. Everyone, every media platform or whatever you can get. Markelle Fultz's shot took precedent over the game, over any game. So after the game, you know, he was asked about it. And I walked over. I was a little late. Not late. I was interviewing another player. And I saw reporters huddled around him. And I asked him, I said, can you comment on the shot? And he said the ball slipped out of his hands. And my response was on both of them. Because, you know, the second one was more pronounced than the first. But he still, like, double-clutched a little, you know, double-clutched on the first one. He said, yeah. And then he goes on. He says, I'm not worried about it. I work on my game. Everybody knows how hard I work. So it happens. The thing is, I don't really care about what people say or what people are going to say. I really don't give a bleep for real. I work on my game, and that's how it's going to go. All right? Brett Brown was also asked about it. The 76ers coach was asked about it before we got in the locker room and talked to folks about a shot. And Brett said, you know, every so often, you know, you'll see him shoot it that way. But then he says, then all of a sudden he'll come back and he'll take rise up fadeaway jump shots and look like a real sort of fluid type of player. Real fluid motion on his shot. You know, on those occasions, Brown said, you wouldn't know there was a problem. But the coach praised Fultz for his defense. Now, folks, getting destroyed. I mean, destroyed. And I get it. But in a way, like, I understand what he said. I understand, like, some people say, like, damn, why did he react like that? I mean, this guy is working hard. I will give it to that. I understand that he was the first overall pick. I understand he's making millions of dollars. I understand whenever we ask him questions, he comes off, like, confident. And I understand you don't see a confident guy at times on the floor. But what is he going to tell us? Man, my shot is broken. He's not going to say that. But at the same time, I will tell you this. I guess it's hard when after the game, you know that you're getting destroyed. You know that you're a national joke. You know that everyone is, like, just making fun of you. And I shouldn't say he's a national joke, but I think that his shot was a national joke last night. And he spoke from his heart. And it's true. He is working hard. He is putting in the work. And it's evident by when you talk to his teammates. You know, some guy, you may think that some guys on the team will say, like, you know what? Why is Markel starting over me? I should be getting these minutes. But now all they talk about is, yo, man, Kel's working hard. Man, I'm proud of him. He's working hard. Now, again, I talked to y'all a couple weeks ago about I felt like Drew Hanlon, even Brett Brown and all of them to a certain extent, they elevated the expectations. And we all were like, oh, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. Well, we see that it's not that way. And like Brett Brown said, there are times when Markel Fultz looks fluid, but then there are times when he struggles. It's just that's how it's going to be, unfortunately, for him. Now, it may come a point in time, like I said before, I think Markel still can be a good player. He may not live up to the hype of being the first overall pick, but I feel like he can be a good player. It's just not probably won't be with the Sixers. But again, there are some people criticizing him for his reaction. But I liked it. It was real. You know, sometimes you get tired of him saying how great he is. and not telling you, like, you know he feels a certain way, so a different way than the message, than the way he talks in the interview. Well, he was real. And I don't fault him for saying it. I mean, he showed that he has feelings. All right, third segment, I want to talk to y'all about, when I get back, who I believe is going to lose their starting spot once Jimmy Butler makes his debut Wednesday night in Orlando. I'll be back. What's up, y'all? I'm back. Look, if there's like a little gap in between these commercials, whatever, space gap, I apologize. It's like I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties as far as going on with this podcast. And I apologize. I'm trying to get all that rectified moving forward. But, you know, I talked to you about who I think is going to lose their starting spot when Jimmy Butler gets here. And, you know, I know Brett Brown has been, you know, Brett Brown has been saying that, hey, you know, Markel will know when it's time, right? You know, we're still trying to grow him. I could be wrong, but I think Markel is going to be the one who loses his spot. You know, and the reason why I say that is because when Brett Brown was asked about who was going to lose it, he said, in my head, I know. In my mouth, I'm not going to say it. I don't feel comfortable right now declaring that for the marketplace. Well, the reason why he probably doesn't feel comfortable declaring it for the marketplace is because he was probably thinking if he would have came out and said, I'm taking Markel out of the starting lineup, we all would have asked right then and there, is it because of his shot? Have you seen enough? And went on from there. And he didn't even talk to Markel to alert him at that particular time. Now, again, I could be wrong, but I believe that that's going to happen. That's my opinion. Because when you look at it, you know, before they had the experiment with Markel and Ben Simmons and they didn't have any shooters on the floor, now you look at what the Sixers' record, they're 9-6. Brett Brown said that the goal this season was to get to the NBA Finals. Now you bring in Jimmy Butler. You have your third star. You know, the spacing is going to be way better than what it was with Ben Markel and Ben Simmons. But at the same time, when you have these scorers, you do want to get J.J. Redick on the floor, right? Because you want to get a shooter out there. And, you know, and you just want to have your spacing. And you want to allow the guys to be able to operate. Jimmy Butler, for instance. You want him to be able to spread, you know, just go to work. But in order for him to get that spacing, too, you're going to have a shooter. So, I think it's going to be Markel, you know. I mean, you look at Wilson Chandler, you know, Wilson Chandler is going to be the glue guy. He's going to be the guy that's going to do the dirty work, you know. J.J. Redick's going to be the guy knocking down threes. And then you're going to have the three stars, or the Sixers call them. Ben's going to be, you know, getting his assists. And then I believe that it's going to be the Butler and Embiid show. So I think that Markel is going to be the backup point guard. He's going to come in. He's going to try to spark the unit. And the only way I feel as if that he doesn't lose his spot is if the Sixers feel that they need some bench scoring. But again, I do believe that another trade or move has to be made in order for them to beef up their bench. But if he keeps Markel Fultz in the starting lineup, it's just because they need some bench scoring. But you look at it now, you got Mike Muscala hitting shots. As we talked about before, Furkan Korkmaz is starting to play, and he's playing well. You look at Landry Shamet. I mean, you know, he's their most consistent scorer off the bench. So, you know, we'll see what's going on. Even Jonah Bolden, when he played, showed that he's capable. But I'm under the impression that Markel Fultz is going to be the odd man once the 76ers revamp the starting lineup come Wednesday. Hey, y'all, I want to thank you for listening. Have a great day, and I will chat with y'all tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Locked On 76ers.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.